Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and I invite you to turn to the 27th Psalm, Psalm 27, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 3. The title of today's message is Confidence for the New Year. Confidence, peace for the new year, for 2007. Psalm 27, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:2. When the wicked, even upon me, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'm glad that as a born-again believer, the outlook that I have and the outlook that all of us should have on a new year not only should be looking for the return of Jesus Christ, but to look upon the new year as God gives it to us with great confidence, with great peace, knowing that God is going to take care of us throughout this new year. We look back on last year, and we've had some testimonies in the past, especially at Thanksgiving, of people who told about what God had done for them, some wonderful things. And friend, that same God who took care of you last year can take care of you in the year that lies ahead. Confidence is a good trait. Confidence is a good thing to have. There are a lot of people that came in the building today troubled, worried, a lot of problems, wondering what you're going to face this year. That really won't help you a lot to worry about those things, but to have confidence is a good trait, knowing and having that peace in your heart that things are going to be what God would have them to be. Many times it's a difference in failure and success, coming into a year facing a situation with confidence. I believe the Christian should be confident. If anybody on the face of the earth ought to have confidence, ought to be a born-again believer. The scripture says in Proverbs 21, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. In other words, they just don't have a lot of confidence. They're afraid all the time. They're not really sure of anything. But the righteous are bold as a lion. We have confidence. We can be bold. We can know that we're on God's side, and thank God know that He is on our side. Well, we may have some doubts sometimes, and we may have these little bouts of doubt and struggles, but I'm saying to the believer, confidence should dominate my life and your life. It should dominate our lives. Confidence in God, knowing God is in charge. The main reason we should have confidence is knowing we're saved. Hey, I know I'm saved today. Some folks would say, you can't say that. That's arrogance. Who do you think you are saying you know for sure that you're saved and you're going to heaven? Well, it isn't because it's me. It's because it's the Bible, and it's what the Bible says. I have confidence as a born-again believer, knowing that I'm saved. Not guessing or hoping, but knowing that I'm born again, that I'm saved, and I have a relationship with God. I am His, and He is mine. I'm in His family. He is my Heavenly Father. And I have confidence knowing that I'm born again. Friend, if you're not saved, you cannot have that kind of confidence. Somebody walked up to you and said, are you saved? Do you know you're going to heaven? You say, well, I hope so. I'm trying to get there. All you're doing is advertising that you haven't understood what the Bible says about salvation. It is by grace through Jesus Christ, not your good works or anything close to that. It is knowing that you've been freed from the bondage of sin because you came to Christ as a beggar, as a spiritual pauper, and you cast yourself at His feet and said, I trust one thing to get me to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace. You will never earn your way into heaven. We can be confident because we know we're saved and our Father can handle any difficulty. We can be confident because we have an unlimited access to God. I'm glad I have an unlimited access to God. I don't have an unlimited access to a lot of people. There's some people when I was studying this message, I thought, well, I'll just call the president, or maybe just show up down there, and the guy stopped me at the gate, and I say, hey, I want to go in and talk to the president a little while, and you just tell him that Willie Weaver's here, and he'll say, bring him on in. I don't have unlimited ability to go in to talk to him, and there are a lot of people, but thank God I have the unlimited ability and access to go to God. And I'm glad I have that, because I'll tell you, as you go through a year, you're going to need to call on God many, many, many times. So we should do it as a regular habit. It ought to be a daily habit. But thank God, he's never in a hurry. I was praying the other morning and prayed a little bit longer than maybe usual. I was up here in the office and all the staff was gone and they weren't bothering me and all that, you know. And so I had plenty of time to pray, and I thought, you know, I'm praying a long time, and that's not a boast. It just happened to be one of those times that I thought, I'm glad God's not in a hurry. I'm glad I could just keep on praying and keep on praying, and God was never in a hurry. He never is. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Having boldness. That could be interpreted confidence. Having boldness, having confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We are able to go into the holy place in heaven where Jesus is and call on him and go through him. And we have access for whatever we need. What did you need last year? Did God provide it? Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
He surely did. I'm sure he did. But we have access. Do you need wisdom this year for some decisions that you're trying to make? You're trying to come to God's will, and you want to know God's will? Go to God and talk to him about it. He's going to show you. He will give you the wisdom to make the right decisions if you'll depend on him. He's there. We have access to him. God, give me wisdom. As a pastor, how many times do I have to get on my knees and say, God, I really don't know for sure what I need to do right here. Please give me wisdom. And God says that he will give wisdom when we ask for it. He gives to all men liberally, and he doesn't withhold it from anybody else. Maybe you're going to have face, or maybe you're going through it right now, a child that's going to break your heart, a rebellious child. You teach them, you train them, you bring them up in the right way. You tell them to love the Lord Jesus Christ, but something happens. The devil gets on their case. They rebel against you. How are you going to get through that, my friend? You're going to get through it by going to God in prayer and asking him for his help. And could anybody here today say amen? God's always there, and he's going to help out during those times. I can tell you that, being a father of two children, I can tell you there were times only God got us through. Only God. Now, they weren't terribly mean, but they were mean enough. What about your financial challenges? Some of you today are sitting here thinking, man, how in the world? I don't know how we're going to do it. Medical costs, other things come in, all of that. Let me tell you something. You have the ability to go to God in prayer about that. Do you think God cares about us? He does. And you go to him in prayer about your financial needs, maybe your budget. You look at it and you say, man, it needs divine intervention. And some of that sometimes we bring on ourselves because of credit cards, and some of us need plastic surgery, amen? But nevertheless, God is merciful. But God will supply your need. He's promised he's going to do that. Go to him for that. You have health issues, go to him for that. You have access to Almighty God. Avail yourselves of the resources, and I'm talking about fabulous resources, the greatest resources of an all-knowing and all-powerful God who knows everything about you and knows exactly what you need today. You have access to him. Go to him and ask him to work those things out. I have confidence, secondly, because I know that God is in control. God is in control. Some people think God started the earth and mankind and all that and took off and hid somewhere and he's not watching. But I'm telling you today, God is in control of everything. He's in control of my life and your life. Oh, I had a few discouraging circumstances last year, and you probably did too. But I discovered in those times that God was in control. And he is today, amen? God is in control. God is not surprised. He's never taken by surprise. Almighty God is in control of everything that is going on, and He's ruling over everything. And the only reason He allows things to come into our lives, if we can remember this, is for our good and for His glory. He tells us sometimes we need trials. We studied in Romans 5 this morning in my Sunday school class. The tribulation worketh patience, and that experience. In other words, God allows those things to draw us close to Him. God allows those things to conform us to the image of His Son. God allows that. I'm glad that my future is in His hands. And I know whatever comes this year, somehow, some way, there are no accidents to the child of God. We call them accidents, but they're not accidents. They are things that somehow in the will of God, God allows to happen in our lives. And I'm so comforted by Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purposes. Now, we don't always understand that, and everything that happens is not necessarily good, but it works together for good. And our well-being is not left to chance or happenstance or fate, but our well-being is in the hands of God. Amen. Man, I'm glad I can face the new year and say, God, You're in control. Hallelujah. You are absolutely in control. You've got it in control over in Iraq and Iran. You have it in control in Afghanistan. You have it in control at the White House, believe it or not. He has all of that in control. The whole world situation is in control. God is in control. Be comforted today to know that God's in control. We have no reason to be afraid. And then my confidence is because God is our total adequacy for every demand put on us. We're going to have some demands put on us this year. Some we may not want. Some you're thinking of, maybe some of you are thinking of right now, some demand that's going to come on you. Maybe it's a work situation or whatever it may be. I don't know. Maybe a home situation. But God is our total adequacy. Is He not? He is adequate. He is my adequacy today. 2 Corinthians 3:4-5. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Did you get that, Christian? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. When I realize it's not me, it's God, I can keep going. I can keep teaching, keep preaching, keep pastoring, keep serving, because I realize my adequacy is not me. It is Almighty God. And God will help you in that ministry. God will help you in that area of service and whatever you're doing, whatever you're facing. It's not my initiative. My initiative might not get me to first base, but God's power can get me to home plate. Amen? It's not my initiative. It's not just training. It's not just cleverness. It's not trying to scheme and work it all out ourselves. We have to lean on God, and God is adequate for every challenge and every demand that we're going to face this year. He is absolutely, totally adequate. I'm confident in a good year and in a new year in 2007, because God assures us that He will complete anything and everything that He has begun in our lives. That's a promise of His Word. Listen to it in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means that when you get saved, my dear friend, God's going to see that you're taken care of all the way through your life, all the way until you are in the very presence of Jesus Christ someday. Somebody in this congregation is going to die, a number of people this year. We don't know who it's going to be yet. But you can know this. You can know this. That when death comes and knocks on your door, you're ready to go meet Jesus Christ. You can know that He is going to take care of us, and He's going to see us through all the way to the end. I cannot lose my salvation. I'm safe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that He's going to take me through to the very end. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. Well, that's a good admonition starting out a new year. Let your lifestyle and the way you live be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. That doesn't mean don't try to improve yourself, but do your best, and then as things happen, be content. Be satisfied in the Lord. For he has said, now you say, well, why should I be content if I don't have this and I don't have that and I want this and I don't get it? Why should I be content and not have covetousness? Here's the answer. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That ought to make anybody content. I mean, you can take every, you think about people, famous people like President Ford, former President Ford. He left, somebody says, what did he leave? He left everything. All the pomp and all the glory, and that's okay, and all of that. But friend, he left everything. And I think of wealthy people and other well-known people and famous people, like the singer that just died and others. They left everything. They left it all right here. Maybe they lived for all of that and lived for materialism, but they left everything. And unless they were saved, they didn't have this confidence about Jesus saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Friend, that's worth more than all the gold in Fort Knox to me. To know that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank God we're reconciled to him. We're brought back into right relationship with him. I'm on his side. He's on my side. I love him. He loves me. He is never going to forsake me. He is not against me. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's like this. If we're on God's side and God's on our side, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about anybody else. Just live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I have confidence in this life and in the future because through Christ and only through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are prepared for the next life. Through Christ, I have confidence because I'm prepared for the next life. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If the Lord comes this year, are you ready? Someone sent me a song the other day and said they wrote it and said it'd be a good song to sing, and I read it and I didn't like the lyrics. It said, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to meet Jesus. Now maybe he meant it about the walk of a Christian, but it implied in some places, I'm getting ready to meet. You don't get ready. You're either ready or you're not ready. You're saved or not saved. You're ready to meet Christ. Now, Christ could come at any time. We believe that. We teach that because the Bible teaches that. We believe in the imminent return of Christ. He could come at any moment. He could come before I finish this message. He could come before we get back tonight. He may not, but he could. Now, are you ready to meet him? Are we ready to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've never been born again, friend, you're not. You have no confidence. You cannot say, well, if I die tonight or Christ comes, I'm going to be with you. You can't say that with confidence. You might say, I hope so, or I'm trying, or whatever you might come up with, or I'm religious, or anything else. But friend, you're not. That's not going to do it. It has to be knowing that you're born again, that you're a child of God, and then you have the confidence that if he comes right now in this lifetime, I'm ready to meet him. I'm ready to go to be with him. You see, our confidence, as we let people know that we're happy, that we're satisfied, that we're depending on Christ, that there's joy in our soul, that confidence we have is a great, great testimony to all of those around us that are unsaved. They look at us and they say, look at the confidence they have. Look, they don't seem to be worried. They're not afraid of death. They're not troubled by all of these things that are going on. Look at them as they go through those trials. They seem to have a victor spirit, and they know that God's going to take care of it, and God does. What a testimony for a Christian to have a positive, confident attitude that God has told us we have a right to have as his children. And it's all because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And friend, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is more than head knowledge. I'm afraid that some folks have never really been saved. They know about Jesus. They know about God. They know about the plan of salvation, but when you observe and follow their lives, they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with that. I believe when we're His, we're born again, we belong to Him, we'll have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do, we will witness the all-sufficiency of our God and know that God is going to take care of us. He will supply our need, and it's His inexhaustible resources that are available to us to take us through another year. And God gives us those things that we might use for His glory. Remember today, friend, God is for you. Even if you're lost, God's for you. He wants you to be saved. And certainly if you're saved, God is for us. And we have the assurance God is with us because He's promised that, and God is in control of the future. See, I can go home tonight, put my head on my pillow, and go sound asleep in about 2 or 3 minutes because I know all of this. I know it's the Word of God, and I can rest like a baby. That should be our confidence in 2007. Nothing else. Don't worry about your circumstances. Don't worry about any of those other things. Believe what the Bible says. Come to God. Look to Him. Look back at what He's already done for you. If you're not saved, come to Him and get saved today. Be sure that you're saved so that you can have that unquestionable confidence that if you die, you're going to be with Him, and that if He comes this year, you're ready to meet Him. But then there are some Christians that are ready in one way. But friend, let me tell you, you're not ready to meet Him if there's sin in your life as a believer. Are you ready to meet Him? No, not if you're living outside of His will. Not if there's sin in your life. And you say, oh, preacher, don't you know, don't you understand that all the members of an independent Bible-believing fundamental Baptist church have no problem with sin and they're all living right and that's just the way it is with our group? I can tell you one thing, I know better than that. I know better than that from 37 years of pastoring. Some of you are having problems with sin in your life and you know it. And you need to do something about it. To some, it's pornography. To some, it's materialism. To some, listen to me, to some, it's coldness or worse yet, lukewarmness. A lukewarm Christian is not ready to meet Jesus Christ. You're ready positionally. You're ready because you're saved. But you're not ready for the judgment seat of Christ, friend. Get ready today. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. As we go to the Lord in prayer, and in a moment we'll have an invitation. First and foremost, I invite you to come and trust Christ as your Savior. If you do not have the confidence, are you listening? Say amen if you are. If you do not have the confidence that you're ready to meet God, that you're saved, if you died, you'd go to heaven. Come today and trust Christ only. Don't trust baptism, your good works, or your denominational tag. Trust the blood of Christ only. Come and trust Him as your Savior. And if you as a believer need to come today, come. Maybe you came in with stress. Maybe you came in with these problems. Maybe you came in with family problems, financial challenges, or whatever. Maybe they're on their way. Just come and trust God. And trust Him for every challenge you have in this new year. Father, help us as your children to have the confidence you want us to have. The confidence that comes only through knowing Jesus Christ and walking in fellowship with Him in His will. I pray you'd speak to our hearts today. Lord, there could be someone here who's unsaved. Probably there is. I pray that that man or that woman or that boy or girl, that couple, maybe that whole family, would step out and come and say, I want that confidence. I want to know that I'm saved. And I come trusting Christ, accepting Him as my Savior. Realizing I'm a sinner, believing He died for me, I accept Him as my Savior today. Someone, God, I would imagine needs to do that, and I pray they would. There are believers here. May they bring their anxieties, their cares, their hopes, their challenges, their visions to you right now. Cast them at your feet and trust you to carry them out and to meet every need that we have. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.